Well, today is the big exciting day when you fill in your faith promise cards and hand those in. And every year is different. It's the same in our church. We just came through our faith promise conference and preaching pretty much the same principles that I've been sharing with you since Friday night. God has done for us exceeding abundantly. We never thought that God would do what He did. We were hoping to be able to maybe take on 12 more missionaries, which in itself is a miracle when you think of it, taking that much of a jump. We support our missionaries for $100 a month each, so that would mean an extra $1,200 that we'd have to see God bring in. And we thought that that would be quite a little miracle. But the verse in Ephesians says, exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. What God did was give us the ability to take on 31 more missionaries. And that just kind of floored us. And we all picked ourselves up off the floor and said, thank you, Heavenly Father. You see, when you do things that please God, God's going to bless that back to you. Never forget that. It's the law of the harvest. You will reap what you sow. When you please the heart of the Heavenly Father, He'll take special pains to make things go well for you. This is why also we have that promise of God both in Exodus chapter 20 and Ephesians chapter 4 on, no, 6, on honoring the parents. When you honor your mom and dad, then God will bless that back to you. Now, sometimes that's done by faith. Some of us had wonderful parents, couldn't ask for better. Others of us wish we could turn them in and get a new set. You know, like how they play cards in Vegas or something. Hit me, I'll take 3 this time. But you can't do that. You've got the parents that God gave you, right? You say, but my parents were stinkers. Well, God chose those stinkers. And the point is, if by faith you will give them honor, then God is pleased and He'll bless that. He'll make things go well with you and grant you long life. That's His promise in both Old and New Testament, but it's done by faith. Who does the first step? We do. We don't wait for God to bless us and then we'll honor them. No, God says honor them and then God will bless us. You say, well, what do you do if your parents are dead? Well, I happen to have that problem too. Both mine died many years ago. I'm now an orphan. I realize that, you know, when my dad passed away, my mom passed away, it broke my heart. My dad passed away, it broke whatever left was my heart. And I realized, wow, they're both gone. I'm an orphan. And so it just kind of hit me. I'm all alone, it felt like. I can't go to them and ask them questions anymore. I can't even call them up on Mother's Day, Father's Day. Can't visit them. Can't buy them a gift. Oh. But I can still honor them. I have their picture up in a prominent place in my home, and I speak well of them. So I want God to bless me, you see? And so I honor my parents. Whatever you do that pleases God, God's going to bless that back to you. And that's why Faith Promise is so exciting. And it's probably the most exciting conference you'll ever have as a church all year long. You ought to be looking forward. Start looking forward to Faith Promise Conference 2019. Because should the Lord tarry is coming, it's coming. The Faith Promise will be here. And what a joy to partner with God and get involved and do things that please God and then watch the blessings of God. It's always that way. Well, listen, have you ever heard this expression? The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a... there's an adjective in there, you know. Single step. Right, let's say it together. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Praise the Lord. Well, God is not calling upon us to journey 1,000 miles. I'll tell you something. God is calling upon us to journey 5 steps. The journey of 5 steps begins with a single step. Right. When I put my finger behind my ear and bend it slightly, what I'm doing is giving you a secret code, and it means talk to me here, fill in the blank, help me out. Okay? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, just checking. The system works. All right. Well, today we're going to show you a 5-step process on how to find the will of God for your life concerning faith promise. And it's a prayer. It's a 5-step prayer. Now, when we get finished the message, I'm going to invite as many of you as you like to come to the altar. And let's get on our knees together and we'll pray through this 5-step prayer to know the will of God. And after which, you go back to your seats, and then the pastor will come and lead us in filling out the faith promise card. Okay? Let's begin with prayer. Now, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promises of God. Thank you that they are yea and amen. Boy, that's encouraging. We've got so little to count on in this world, except maybe change. Everything is changing on us, dear Heavenly Father. The stock market, the worth of the Canadian dollar, or the worthless of the Canadian dollar. The friendships change. Everything is changing. The weather, everything. But Lord, we thank you that your word doesn't change. You made sure of it. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. We thank you that we've got the same Bible that they had 2,000 years ago. Lord, please help us now to do a simple act of faith and to take a step of faith. In fact, 5 steps this morning in a prayer. And we ask that you would reveal to each one of us the assurance and the knowledge of what you would have us to give this year for the next 12 months, 52 weeks of faith promise. Lord, we'll give you the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when God gets involved with our finances, that's when the unexplainable happens. If you were here in the Sunday School Hour, we talked about that. We gave many examples of how God bends the natural, normal laws of physics and finances and everything else that's normal and natural. God bends them when he gets involved. You see, when you get God on your side, you're something like David in a slingshot. It doesn't matter if there was 1 Goliath, 2 Goliath, 3 Goliath more, 4 Goliath, 5 Goliath, doesn't matter, you know, because God is able to make one stone even, you know, ricochet off the foreheads of all of the Goliaths, and if there had been 2 of them or 3 of them, they all would have fallen face down. David only needed 1 stone in his sling, and he needed 1 sword, which he didn't have. Well, God provided that, didn't he? It came compliments of the enemy. And he ran over and put his big foot on Goliath's chest, you know, and hauled out his sword and lopped his head off and held up this great big, you know, it would be like the size of a buffalo head or something like that, and held this thing up, you know, and all God's people saw it and said, "He did it, he did it, I can't believe it, he did it. There really is a God." And away they went. Now, any one of them could have been used of God to do it, but it took someone, and it took a teenager too. He was a teenager at the time. It took a teenager with faith in God. I wonder if there's teenagers here today that will step out in faith and say, "I'll get involved. I'll start supporting missions." I wonder if there's some children here, 12 and under, who would say, "Well, I want to get involved too. I want to get God's blessing." I wonder if there are parents of children that would say, "I want God to bless my children. I'm going to lead them to get involved in Faith Promise." I wonder if there's parents here today that would get on the bandwagon and say, "We need every blessing from God that we can possibly get," and would get on the bandwagon and start to give to support foreign missions and then watch God bless. But we're saying here this simple principle that when God gets involved with your finance or with anything you have, the miraculous happens, because, folks, we serve a miraculous God. All of the events of creation are all miracles. God is so creative, so amazing. Look what he did at the Tower of Babel. If you or I had been God and all these people gathered together to build this great big crazy idolatrous thing, we would have just knocked the thing down. We would have, you know, gone with our little finger and gone bink, 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 and shot these people all over the then known world. You there and you there and you there and you there. But that's not what God did. He did something even greater. He confused all their languages. So that instead of asking, "Hand me another brick, hand me another what?" And the man answered, "Beep, bop, beep, 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 bop, beep, another." No one knew what each other was talking. They had to kind of figure it out. You know, who speaks here today? Oh, there's one over there. And they got together. And what an amazing miracle. We serve a miracle-working God. Isn't that right? Yeah. Amen. You ought to believe it, because the new birth is a miracle. If you're here and you got saved, if you ever got on your knees at some point in your life and asked Jesus to forgive your sins and come in your heart and be your Savior, you experienced a miracle, the new birth. And your name was written down in glory, and you said, "It's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine." And there was shouting time in heaven when you got saved, and there's all kinds of things waiting for you when you get there. And I'll tell you, there's 1,000,000,000 times more for the believer who will serve God. Oh yeah, you'll get some goodies in heaven, but you'll get so much infinitely more if you serve God here. Well, anyhow, I want to give you these 5 steps today. We're taking a journey of 5 steps, not 1,000 miles. Then the first step is this. It's submit yourself to the Lord. Submit yourself to the Lord. It's proper. It's the first step. Now, your Bible's open at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I'd like you to look, please, at verse 5. Now, we looked at a couple of these verses in Sunday school, but we're going to look at them again. Paul is talking about the churches, plural, the churches in Macedonia, in that area of Asia Minor. And what they did, Paul is using as an example, trying to teach and encourage this church at Corinth. And he says in verse 5, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." And so here it says, Paul says that they did this not as we hoped, not as we had hoped. Now what he means is that they exceeded his expectations. Have you ever exceeded God's expectations of you? Have you ever done that? Have you ever felt that God wanted you to read the Bible for 5 minutes and so you went ahead and read it for 10? Have you ever felt that God wanted you to go to church Sunday morning, so you went to church Sunday morning and you went Sunday night? Have you ever done anything that's exceeded what you feel God was asking you to do? Because that's what we have here. These churches made up of people just like you and I, and churches probably about this size right here. They exceeded Paul's expectation. Paul was the apostle who helped get all these churches started. And they exceeded his expectations. The first step is to submit yourself to the Lord. He goes on in verse 5, he says, "But first gave their own selves to the Lord." Folks, this means to yield and surrender and to give up. And this is, without a doubt, the very first key or step, if you will, to a successful Faith Promise conference. It will succeed or it will fail right here. If you're here today and in your heart you're saying, "No, I will not submit to God," then you're out. You're out. You're out. What matter what? You're out of God's will and you're out of God's blessing. You're out. You're not going to be put out of the church. You don't have to worry about that. But you cannot expect to get what the others will get when they obey God and do His will. It's as simple as that. I'm not trying to fool anyone. I'm not trying to coerce anyone. I'm just telling you like it is. I'll tell you something else like it is. If you climb up to the roof of this church building and you jump off, you will fall. You will fall. And it's not the fall that's going to hurt you. It's the sudden stop at the end of the fall. That's what's going to break your leg or break your neck or something. But I can guarantee you that one, you get a ladder and climb up here and jump off, you're in trouble. And I can guarantee you that if you don't live God's way, you will miss out on God's blessing. Does that make sense? Amen? Amen. Oh, I forgot. Yeah. Right, good. Okay, just checking. All right. Well, it's going to succeed or fail right here. Step one. We're not talking a commitment. Please understand, we're not talking about you and me making a commitment to God. That's not what we're saying. We're talking about making an unconditional surrender of control of everything over to God. That is step number one. Now here's the difference. In a commitment, you are still in control. But in an unconditional surrender of everything, God is in control. Do you see the difference? Yes? How many are still a little hazy? I don't know what we're talking about. All right, well, we've got a commitment and we've got an unconditional surrender. And what I'm saying is you need to do this latter one. The unconditional surrender. Now, I'll give you an illustration. Courting, when a young man meets the girl of his dreams and he starts to court her and gets engaged, that's a commitment. That's a commitment. But then comes marriage. That's an unconditional surrender. However, that's a good surrender though. Amen. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good one. Right. All the husband said, amen. Amen. Yes. Right. So unconditional surrender, it's also known as the lordship of Christ in your life. Now, I'm not talking lordship theology. That's another sermon in itself, and Pastor will tell you all about that. But we're talking about simply letting the Lord be the Lord in our lives, coming to Him and recognizing that He is Lord. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, and it's going to require a raise of hand, and then I'm going to tell you something after. But how many here would say that Jesus Christ is Lord of their life? Raise your hand if you think Jesus Christ is Lord of your life. It's not a trick question. It's not a trick question. She's got her hand half up here. Is Jesus Lord of your life? Look, I'll put both of my hands up. How about that? Would that help? All right. Now, let me tell you what the word Lord means. The word Lord, the English word Lord, is from an old English word that means the keeper of the loaf. That's what Lord means, the keeper of the loaf. It's, in other words, a loaf of bread. And what it means is that He's the guy who decides who gets to eat that day. He has so much control in our lives that if He says, no, you're not going to eat today, then you don't eat. If He says you can eat, then you get to eat. Now, eating is something we take as a right. We say it's one of our rights. It must be in the charter somewhere. You know, the Canadian charter, it's got to be in there, something about food. Huh? And the truth is, when you make Jesus your Lord, you are making Him the absolute, complete, sovereign controller of your life, including whether you eat or not. That's what Lord means. Now, I'm not trying to trick you or anything, but I just want you to know. Step one. If this is going to work, the only way it's going to work is if you do it God's way, and the only way is if the Lord's in control. That's the only way it's going to work. Step one is you make a complete, unconditional surrender of everything to the Lord. You see, the truth is your bank account's not enough. Well, Lord, I'll give you all my cash flow, all what I'm worth, my stocks and bonds, all of my everything, Lord, you can have my bank. That's good, but that's not enough. You say, why is that not enough? Well, very simply, because God says in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Now listen, which is your, what's the next word?
Reasonable
service. Reasonable means it can be reasoned out. It's within our reason. We can understand it. So why is it reasonable? Why that? Simply because God tells us in 1 John chapter 2, listen to this, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And so in other words, why would an infinitely wise and holy and righteous God reveal the secrets of his love and His power to people who harbor in their bosoms His enemies? Why would God reveal these secret, wonderful things and His power to people who are harboring in their heart the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the things of the world? This is why we need to make a complete, full, everything, all there is of me, Lord, surrender to God. It's step number one. If you're serious and you want to find out what God wants you to do so that you can do it and then start receiving the blessings that He'll give you, it all begins here. That's why I said you're going to make it or break it right here. Now we have to move on to step number two. Assuming that you're willing to make that step, keep listening. If you're not willing to make that step, then I guess you can play with your device or whatever you'd like to do, or look out the window or something, because the rest of this isn't going to do any good. But assuming that you're in agreement here and that you're ready to make a full surrender, step number two is to pray for your complete willingness to give. Now, when you understand that our lives are so damaged by sin and by the things of the world, and realize how helpless we are, you'll understand the wisdom of this. Step number two is pray for your complete willingness to give. Now look at chapter 8 again and verse number 3, and you'll see that it says here in the third part of verse number 3, they were willing of themselves. Now it's not forced. There's nothing forced here. If you feel forced, then you're not ready to do this. It's not like someone's putting a gun to your head and saying, okay, get on your knees and make a surrender. Okay, start giving the faith promise. That's not what it's about. There's no guilt trip. It's not forced at all. It has to come from a willing heart. That's what God is looking for. And nothing is going to happen until you are willing to get involved in this special missionary offering. Complete willingness is essential to know what God wants you to give. The first step is submission, and it's necessary in order for you to reach the second step, which is willingness. As you make the second step, you'll now understand that what you're doing is you're giving what already belongs to God. Because in step number one, you already yielded everything. Your past, present, future, all of your money, your health, your popularity, everything about you, you've already yielded that to God's control. And now step number two is what you're doing is you're giving God what already belongs to Him. How about that? Isn't that an eye-opener, right? You can now understand everything you have right now, you have because God allowed you to have it. And isn't that so true? If you have a job, if you have a car, if you have a house, if you have a husband, wife, or children, you know, everything you have, it's because God's allowed you to have it. Even the kids, yes. Children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. Everything you have, even if you're sitting here clothed and in your right mind, what a blessing that is. You have that because of God. And there are some people that do not have even that in this world. Isn't that something? Everything you have is yours because it's been given to you. It sure becomes easier to give when you see it God's way. It's important also that you know this. You can never outgive God. You think you can outgive God? You can't, my friend. His promise in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. With good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. The first step, who can tell me, the first step is what? Surrender. Surrender or submission, that sort of thing, but surrender. What's the second step? Try and give me one word. Oh, it's all prayer.
Willingness.
Submission, willingness. Now the third step is asking God for the grace to help you to give. In chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God. By the way, the word wit just simply means to know, you know, to come into the knowledge. Oh, I understand. That's the concept of wit. To wit of the grace of God. The grace of God is a word that we don't understand enough. But without the grace of God, no one here could ever be saved. We understand that? Amen? For by grace are ye saved, right? But that same grace is God's divine influence, His divine power, all of the resources that He has available to Himself in heaven and on earth. That is His grace. That gets exciting when you learn what grace is. We named our church Grace Baptist Church, because we wanted to give the emphasis to God and to His will and His power and His influence. There's a lot of churches today that are Calvinist and they call themselves Grace. And we were once asked if we were Calvinist because we had that word grace in the name of our church. We're not a Calvinist church. Okay? We're not a charismatic church. We're not a cultist church. And we're not a Catholic church. There's all the four C's for you right there. No, we're a Baptist church, Bible-believing, independent Baptist church. We're not a perfect church, but we serve a perfect God. We do. We're all in that kind of process of being mended, right? The mending of the nets, according to Ephesians 4. And so, understand this. You must ask God for His grace to be able to do anything, including this important step here. You need His divine influence and His power upon your heart and your resources and your ability. And if you ask, you will receive. Submission to God, listen carefully, submission to God and being willing to give, but lacking the power of God to be able to give, will result in a fruitless effort. You must have the power. You have to have it. Therefore, you need to ask for it. Your prayer should be something like, Oh God, please bestow upon me your grace, your divine influence, and your power upon my heart to make me able to give whatever you lay upon my heart. It's quite possible that God may speak to someone here today and say, I want you to give this much, and it's not an amount that you had in mind. You may have come to church thinking this amount, but God is saying to you this amount. Now, I'm not saying this will happen, and I'm not saying that this is the way she goes, but it does once in a while happen that one of God's children will just have some unexplainable reason why they just feel that God wants them to give this amount here, and they're starting to maybe worry, how can I do that? That's beyond my means. And that's when God says, don't you worry, you leave that to me. You leave that to me, because God is able to make all grace abound toward you, so that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. And so God says, that's my part, leave that to me. So you should be praying, God, please give me your grace, bestow it on my heart and on my resources and on my ability to be able to give you a liberal faith promise missions offering, to be able to fulfill, completely fulfill faithfully your will for the next 12 months or 52 weeks. Now understand that what God lays on one heart is different from what God lays on another heart. The amount that you may be feeling God wants you to give may be totally different than the amount that someone beside you or near you feels that God would have them give. It's all individual. It's between us as individuals with God. So at this point, we have number one, submission. Number two, we have willingness. Number three, we have grace. So far, so good? We still don't know what to give. We still don't know what to give. And so we need to pray the next step. Step number four is to pray for God's will in your faith promise offering. Now here in chapter 8, and look at verse 5, the end portion of verse 5, it says, by the will of God. The will of God is so important. Understand that God knows everything, 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 everything. He knows what you should do to succeed. He knows what you shouldn't do. He knows every step of what you need to do every day. His will is so encompassing, right down to the most minute detail. Listen to this. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. How about that? Right, Brother Klein? Amen. God knows how many are left. We don't even know how many hairs we have on our head. They estimate 100,000, give or take. Who knows? Who cares? That's what they say, right? But God knows exactly. He knows how many molecules are in your body. They say the body regenerates itself. Every 7 years you actually have a new body, they say. I don't know. They could be right. Maybe for some it's every 10 years. Don't know. Don't really care, to be honest with you. But my God takes careful notice. He puts our tears in a bottle. They're in a book. He records our prayers. Our prayers are like sweet incense that come up before Him. Prayers that are done in His will. Not selfish, worldly prayers, but prayers that are done His way are like sweet aroma in His nostrils. And so understand this, if God is so wise and knows everything, why don't we let Him lead? Why don't we say, Lord, what is Your will? And I'll tell you what, the whole basic purpose of praying, this is it. I can summarize it in a nutshell. The whole reason we pray is for these words, thy will be done. That's the bottom line, folks. When we're praying for lost folks, when we're praying for saved folks, when we're praying for finances, when we're praying for the healing of someone who's sick, it all gets down to this, thy will be done. In fact, doesn't that sound familiar to you? Yes? Amen? Amen? Yeah. We're not quite done the sermon yet. Almost. Jesus taught us how to pray. And He taught us, saying after this manner, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What's the next time? What comes next? Thy kingdom come. What comes next? Thy will be done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How do you suppose they carry out God's will in heaven? Hey, Gabriel, come over here, says God. This is what I want you to do. And God tells Gabriel. And Gabriel says, oh, not that again. Gabriel says, well, Lord, you know, I'll try to fit it in. How is God's will carried out in heaven? What do you think? Perfectly. Any other suggestions? Happily. Yep. Any more?
Diligence.
Diligence. That's a good word. Anything else?
Immediately.
You get the idea. We can just kind of throw in these adjectives, how that will is performed. And we all get that idea. And that we would expect that. But when it comes to earth, when it comes to God's people, how do we carry out His will? You see, there's a difference there, isn't there? And there really ought not to be. The whole basic purpose of praying is to find out God's will. And that's step four. And I tell you, Jesus Himself, when He was on earth and He was in the garden, if you'll remember, He prayed and He said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. But then you remember what He prayed after that? Nevertheless, not My will, say it, but Thine be done. Right, not My will. Nevertheless, not My will, but Thine be done. Even at that critical moment, Jesus still prayed. Even when His humanity was at its fullest, and He was suffering and sweating, He was weeping, and He was sweating great, as it were, great drops of blood. It was the most incredible moment that anyone has ever experienced. No one will experience what Jesus experienced in the garden, ever. And He experienced it. And He prayed, if it be possible. Now, He wasn't talking, I think, so much about, oh, don't let me go to the cross. I don't think it was that. I think that He had more far sight than that. He could have died there in the garden, according to the book of Hebrews. If you compare the scriptures, that was Jesus praying and weeping. And He was heard. The Bible says in Hebrews, to save Him from death. And He was heard in that He feared. He could have died there in the garden. I think that it was such a conflict of humanity within Him, and His divinity, you know, was praying, not My will, but Thine be done. That's the bottom line of prayer, folks. That's what it's all about when you get on your knees to pray today. And I really hope you do. I hope that everyone comes forward on the invitation. If you're physically able, I hope that you come forward. I hope we crowd the altar today. Now, it's up to you. What do you want to do? If you're physically not able to come, then maybe get on your knees at the seat there. But if you're physically able to come, then do so. Oh, but others might see me. Yeah, and I'll tell you who else will see you. Your Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father will see you come and take a step of faith and get on your knees and pray to Him. And don't you think that'll make Him happy? If you want to make your Heavenly Father happy, do things that make Him happy. Simple formula, isn't it? Boy, you came a long distance to hear some real deep truth today, didn't you? Wow. Wow. Well, that's some of my preaching for you right there. But anyhow, we must realize that God's ways are always better than our ways. He said, for My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways My ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are My ways higher than your ways, and My thoughts than your thoughts. God is so much smarter than us. You might want to pray today, dear Lord, overrule My ways. Overrule My thoughts. Show Me what You want. Reveal to Me Your will for Faith Promise this conference. Now, at this point, we have submission, we have willingness, we have grace, and we've prayed for God's will to be done. And the last step, pray for the exact amount for your weekly Faith Promise offering. Or some make a monthly. When you have properly made these first four steps, it's just a matter of asking God. That's all it is. And He will show you the exact amount, what He'd have you to give. Very important. You know that your giving is not for one Wednesday, one Sunday, one month or something. You're making a total surrender to God, and you're asking what God wants you to do for the next 12 months. What's Your will for me, for my life, for my pocketbook? What do You want me to do? And as you do it, then God starts to do the miracles for you. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. At this point, folks, listen, you have everything you need to know in order to be able to come to God in prayer, to be able to ascertain from God what He would have you to do. You've got everything right now. You know it all. If you will follow these five steps, you will find out the will of God for your life and for the faith promise. And once you have that, once you know that, you shouldn't have any problem in meeting your faith promise for the next 12 months. I've heard of a man, in fact, he was an assistant pastor at another church in the States, and he started giving this big amount to God for faith promise. And it wasn't long before he couldn't pay his own bills at home. And he had trouble making rent, let alone putting food on the table. So he went to see his pastor and said, I don't know what went wrong here. I don't understand something. And his pastor says, well, let's look at the nuts and bolts of it. And what exactly did you promise God? When the pastor saw what this young pastor had done, he saw his problem right there. And he said to him, young brother, in your zeal, you've not quite waited long enough to hear the still small voice of God. And your intentions were good, your motives were good, God bless you, but you've gone beyond what God is asking you to do. And so scale it back. And that's what he did. He took the pastor's advice and he scaled it back, and he was able to happily continue his faith promise and meet all of his obligations, and God blessed him. So it's just a word of caution here for us. Don't give by emotion. You want to give according to what God is telling you to give. And if you'll do it God's way, you will get God's blessing after blessing after blessing. Isn't that exciting? That's the way the Christian life ought to be. Worked in cooperation with our Heavenly Father so that we see miracles happen. Boy, that's the kind of life I want to live. Well, let's stand to our feet now, shall we?